A dance company turns 10 this year. It's called Stape Dance and is headed by George Stape, who is also on the dance faculty at Emory University. He joins me now to talk about their upcoming retrospective, featuring pieces they've performed throughout the last 10 years. George Stape, welcome.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
I know you were born in Tehran, and your mother is Armenian. How has this multicultural heritage informed your work as a dancer and choreographer?
I would say that the multicultural background is just now emerging. Perhaps the last 6 years, yeah. I think it's something that I perhaps didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to until we started working more closely together with the dancers in the studio, and that we found differences that existed in my upbringing were differences that our dancers could also connect to in different ways. Obviously, if they had a situation where they were living in the same town, yet we found commonalities with acceptance, with ideas of conflict and of togetherness. And so these common threads, I found, united us all. And it was very rich, fertile ground for us to work from.
Certainly, the Armenian part of your heritage has suffered tremendous loss and wrongful death. And I'm wondering about those connections you mentioned with students. What were the encounters? Were there specific nationalities or backgrounds that connected you, that helped create this resonance?
I think so. I believe that what I see in our students at Emory, for those who are traveling from other countries to attend school, their backgrounds, I feel, are many ways similar to mine, in that when I was in Iran, which I lived there until I was 10, I was in some ways an outsider because I went to an American school. Then we moved to a small town in Pennsylvania.
Your father was American.
My father's American, correct. He was with the military. And then when we moved to Pennsylvania, to a very small town, I was also an outsider because I was the only one from a Middle Eastern country. So in Iran, you did feel a little bit of acceptance being an Armenian because it was a safe place for many Armenians to move to during the massacre or following the massacre. And so there was acceptance, but also a little bit of distance from Muslim culture. Yes. And then you move to the United States and feel something that's somewhat similar. And I find that with students who are coming to Emory or people that I encounter daily, they have similar stories. And it may not look like mine, but it has a lot of There are common threads, molecules that remain the same from person to person.
And certainly empathy is at the essence of all art, or ought to be.
I agree, and that's what we hope to uncover or reveal to our audiences, not necessarily a narrative that they have to decode, but rather a way to connect to what's happening on stage in even the most mysterious ways. Mm. Our work really isn't anything that is, I hope, hieroglyphic. It's something that could stir you in one way, and if you don't know why you're being stirred, all the better, all the better, I think.
In your mission for Stape Dance, you say that you work to boost the visibility and viability of contemporary dance in the Southeast. When you started in 2007, or even now, do you think contemporary dance is lacking in the Southeast?
I don't know that it's lacking in the Southeast. I do feel that Atlanta, I've been witness to dramatic change in the last 16 years, wonderful, exciting change in our dance community. And for many years, New York City was a beacon for many dancers. And I found that in the last several years, 10 years, 15 years, artists are moving to Atlanta. to celebrate what is here. And I'm not saying that I nor any other company was responsible for that, but I think for those of us who decided to set our roots here, we believed in what the city had to offer and we believed in the community here, and it just continues to grow.
It's a very exciting development, and I know Atlanta is being recognized now as an international destination for contemporary dance.
Absolutely, with big universities who are producing major companies from across the globe, as well as artists who come in here for residencies to teach students or be involved in the community in one way or another. It's happening, and it's happening quite a lot.
Yes, and you should feel, I mean, you were very modest about that, but you should feel that you have played a role in this.
Well, thank you. But I feel lucky in that my role at Emory allows me to travel from to conferences or to other universities and institutions, and I get to see what's happening there and even put in a plug for the Our City.
How do you like to choreograph? It seems from what I've read that you are very collaborative with your dancers.
I feel that that is absolutely true now. In fact, I list in the program in collaboration with the dancers. I would say maybe 5 years ago, I'd made a shift. But when we began, I would design, in some ways, every count, every moment of the work. And I find that now there's so much life and energy in that which is spontaneous. Of course, we rehearse and we work to cultivate feelings. However, the exciting thing is to see two dancers, three or ten dancers, feel empowered to make decisions in the moment during a performance as well as during rehearsals. And truth be told, my body is not doing what it used to do. So it's thrilling for me to offer a suggestion and see what these artists do with these suggestions, and they transform it into something magical to me.
But your brain is still there.
Well, I hope so.
Your creative conception is there. You know, perhaps it's a factor of maturity. I've heard similar things expressed by orchestra conductors and music directors that, you know, moving from a perhaps more autocratic approach to a more embracing one or collaborative
one. That's absolutely true. And I heard a little bell.
Yes.
I wonder, it could be 20-year-old ego when I thought I needed to control everything. And then that first taste of collaboration where you didn't have to own every decision and you open your pores and your ideas to the other people who are in the room, it's intoxicating. And I think the first taste of that is what guides you to continue to open your own mind to these kinds of experiences.
I like the way you describe pores and molecules. It's very scientific. You're bringing all that. You're bringing the steam to STEM, George. Oh. If you are just joining us, I'm speaking with Stabe Dance Artistic Director George Stabe. The company performs a retrospective this weekend featuring work from their past 10 years of performances. We were talking about your approach to choreography and how you have become increasingly more collaborative with the dancers. Where have you found your dancers over the years?
Great question. In the beginning, I would find anyone who was willing to move in the studio with me and us. And since then...
I mean, like stand outside on North Decatur and
absolutely
Clifton.
Flip okay. Those signs around, and it's so much, you know, they come flocking. But again, as I've been able to travel to other institutions because of a board of directors that I happen to serve on, the American College Dance Association, I encounter dancers at these conferences. Also, Stabe Dance has a 2-week intensive in Sorrento, Italy. And we have.
Do you need anyone to accompany you there?
Always, Lois. Always, always, always. And we've been very fortunate to find some dancers through that program. And in the past, I was always drawn to fancy dancing. But now what's really important to us is the ability to create in the studio, to merge ideas, to allow yourself to be vulnerable, to take risks. And I find that there are plenty of young dancers who enjoy doing that. And sometimes there are other dancers who want to be directed every step of the way.
Wait, what? How is taking risks and you know, perhaps being more forward thinking, not fancy dancing?
I meant perhaps people who are highly technical.
Oh, okay. Yes. So it's not a matter of virtuosity.
Right. No, it can't. Yeah. The virtuosity that we might see from a Spitfire Ballet Company is wonderful, and I absolutely love that as well. But sometimes there's a veneer, I think, that's hard to break when people have to be right all the time. And we encourage being wrong a lot of the times.
So one wouldn't say your choreography is storytelling, is that right?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head.
So then there aren't any narrative pieces, but what is the source of your inspiration?
The inspiration might be an event. I'm referring perhaps to the piece we created last June called Moat, which dealt with migration and movement from one country to the next, and how much of your culture do you keep, how much do you integrate into your new culture. And I feel that that felt hot in the moment as we look at the way the world is shifting. So I kept whittling that down to, what does that mean? How do you feel? Do you feel like an outsider? Do you feel accepted? So it could be anything without the actual story or the narrative from which it sprang.
Education is a big part of Stabe Dance. Tell us about some of that programming.
Well, we really enjoy offering classes to the community. We have a Saturday class series, which comes and goes, I will admit, but it's free classes to the Atlanta community, in addition to a summer workshop in Atlanta and the residency or the two-week intensive in Italy. So for us, what we are hoping to do is cultivate senses of camaraderie and openness, and we work again, through choreography, through contemporary ballet. We will talk about movement language from Ohad Naharin when we have the opportunity to study with a teacher from the world of Gaga in Tel Aviv. And so opening the playing field to dancers is really important to us, to give them a buffet, perhaps, and then they can find where they would like to go back for seconds.
And Israel is phenomenal now in terms of contemporary dance.
It absolutely is. And there's some Israeli artists in Atlanta right
yes.
now.
Yes. And you mentioned the buffet, and I was thinking how fabulous the food would be with the Iranian food and the Armenian and the Israeli. And that would be a delicious buffet.
It absolutely would be, both for food and dance. I agree.
At Emory George, you teach students who have never done contemporary dance before. How do you introduce them to the art form?
It can be very scary, I know, for a lot of these students, but we work with images and silly metaphors, which I really love to
use. Oh, I love silly metaphors. Yeah. I love anything silly.
Yeah,
tell me
so
some
I.
silly metaphors.
Oh, throw your right hand in the air as though you're shaking, can I say booger? A booger off of your finger, whatever, to find an action or an idea. And that is probably not the best example, but if
let's
you...
just say you might not have found that in French ballet of the 19th century.
Absolument, yes.
Oui. But what are some other silly metaphors?
Well, I don't know, dry your rear end on a guest towel to kind of encourage people to release their weight into the floor. But I think if we take the austerity away from dance and let somebody move from a core place and from a primal place, it they can blossom without worrying about what they might look like.
Oh, I think that's marvelous. So by the end of the semester, these undergraduates, you've made converts of them.
We hope so. Yes, we absolutely do hope so.
George Stabe is the artistic director of Stabe Dance. They have four performances of 10. I'm interpreting the X as Roman numeral 10. Or is it X this weekend?
Let's call it X. That's what we...
That takes place this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Emory University's Performing Arts Studio at 7 and 9 p.m. George, congratulations on your decade of stage dance, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, and the pleasure was mine.